The psychological definition of a successful person is a happy person. There are many rich and apparently successful people out there who are just not happy. Happiness is true wealth, true success. And what we'll cover today are the five basic needs that drive all our behaviour. These needs are genetically encoded into us at birth. We all have them, but most of us just don't know what they are or how to meet them. The five needs vary in strength from person to person, giving us our different personalities. And it's failing to meet these needs that causes most of our problems and frustrations. Most of the frustrations we experience in our life occur because we are failing to meet these needs, and failing to meet them strips us of our happiness. Now, the basic needs are love and connection, empowerment, the feeling that we're important to people, that people listen to us, that we have an influence over our life. The need for freedom, the freedom to be ourselves and have an equal sharing of power in a relationship. The need for fun, to be creative, to experience new things, to learn new things. And the need for survival, food, shelter, freedom from harm, and our health. Basic needs. Now, the needs are like the engine driving the car, and the wheels of the car are our total behaviour. The front wheels are the way we think and the way we act. The rear wheels, the way we feel and our physiology. Now, we can point the front wheels in any direction, and the rear wheels have no choice but to follow. The way we choose to think and act will affect the way we feel and our physiology. But most people don't realise that they have a choice. They get into the habit of thinking and acting in a certain way. And often, this is in a negative way. The front wheels get stuck in a rut. But we still feel we're making the best choice we can in the circumstances. The amazing thing is that when you take responsibility for the way you think and act, and responsibility is just the ability to respond, the ability to make a choice, then you can understand that you can influence the way you feel and your physiology in a more positive way. This is often a difficult concept for people to accept, that they choose to stress, depress, anger, anxiety, or whatever negative emotion they may be feeling. Some people want to reject this concept outright. It's hard enough to feel the way we feel without someone telling us that we're choosing it. But look on the positive side. If you can accept that you are choosing it, then you can also accept that you can choose something else. And that gives you back your power to create, instead of giving it away to the things that are happening in your life outside you. I had a woman come to see me with a gambling problem. Now, she told me, she sat there, that she'd been suffering depression for 20 years. She'd been depressed for 20 years. And, of course, this was what was creating a gambling problem. I asked her to pull her shoulders back, sit up straight, put a smile on her face. That is the last thing she wanted to do. You could tell it. You could tell it in her face when she looked at me. She said, "I've come here because I have a gambling problem. I'm depressed." I says, "Could you just do this simple thing that I ask? Pull your shoulders back. Put a smile on your face. Sit up straight." After 5 minutes, reluctantly, she managed to pull her shoulders back and put this smile on her face. I asked her how she felt. She said she felt quite silly. She came here because she had a gambling problem and she was depressed, and she's sitting here with this silly smirk on her face. I says, "But do you feel depressed?" And she says, "Well, no." I said, "Well, you're just showing yourself that you can choose something else." You see, most of us don't realise that we can choose to think a different way. And if we start to look at our body, when we're feeling bad, when we're feeling uncomfortable. That's when we need to choose to think in a different way. The needs for love, connection and belonging and empowerment, these require other people to meet them. Over 95% of people's problems are relationship issues, past, present or lack of a relationship. Often when these needs are frustrated, we can try to increase other needs such as freedom and fun. When some people feel disconnected and disempowered, they turn to alcohol, drugs, gambling. Some people just eat more. They feel it's the best choice they can make at the time to feel better. But you do have a choice. And what you choose to hold in your mind will determine how you act and will in turn determine how you feel and your physiology. Now, if over 95% of our problems are relationship issues, then it's probably best to start there. What's the causes of these problems? What causes problems in our relationship? It's the way we communicate with others. We learn habits of communication. Some of them are very destructive to our relationships with others. We use connecting habits of communication, but we also use disconnecting habits of communication. And we've all experienced them both, because even the best of parents use both. So what are they? Connecting habits. Connecting habits, caring, supporting, trusting, encouraging, listening, befriending, negotiating rather than telling. These habits connect and empower both the giver and the receiver. When you use the connecting habits, you have an influence over others. Connecting habits used on us as children create empowering positive beliefs about ourselves, about others, and about the world we live in. It creates a positive, high self-esteem. And when others use these connecting habits on us as adults, it taps into these positive beliefs. Into the positive beliefs that we have about ourselves, we start to feel good about ourselves. These connecting habits are the ones we use with our best friends. Now, if a person withdraws the connecting habits, it disconnects and disempowers. If a person doesn't appear to care, doesn't support, doesn't trust, doesn't encourage, doesn't listen, doesn't befriend and starts to tell rather than negotiating, then it makes that person feel disconnected and disempowered. It disconnects both the giver and the receiver. But we also have disconnecting habits, and you'll all recognise these ones. Criticising, complaining, threatening, blaming, nagging, punishing, or bribing to control. This is external control psychology. The way we try to control others. It's the way we bully others because we think we know what's best. Or how we try to control them. But we can never really control another person. And these disconnecting habits disconnect both the giver and the receiver. Withdrawing connecting habits or using disconnecting habits on us as children creates a low self-esteem. It forms negative beliefs about ourselves, others, and the world we live in. When it's used on us as adults, it taps into the negative beliefs we have and can also rob us of our self-esteem, even as adults. You might recognise that we don't use the disconnecting habits with our best friends. Very rarely would we think of using a disconnecting habit with a best friend because we could lose them as friends. But we often use disconnecting habits with those closest to us, parents, children, siblings. Now, this is not about pointing the finger at people who use the disconnecting habits, because anyone using them is doing so because they feel disconnected and disempowered in some area of their life, and they're trying to get some control back. But as you will find out with what we cover later, if you're wanting to control people or things that are happening in your life, you're setting yourself up for a lot of frustration. We can see these connecting and disconnecting habits at work in many areas, from parenting at home, interaction at school, interaction in sporting teams or in the workforce. But let's use the example of this in the workforce, and for want for better words, we'll call the different styles of managers lead managers and boss managers. You see, you can manage resources, but you need to lead people. Lead managers. Lead managers connect and empower staff through positive feedback. They see mistakes as opportunities to learn, to build morale. They know the team creates the results. Staff enjoy coming to work, are creative, take less time off, feel that they belong to a team, feel an obligation to work hard and do well, and focus on their work and solutions. This creates a culture of positive expectation. Using the connecting habits is like putting money into the bank. It starts to create a surplus. And as that surplus grows, eventually you get paid interest. Interest back in kind. It's like a gift. If someone gives you a gift, you feel obliged to give them a similar gift back or a gift of similar value back. When a person uses connecting habit, we feel obliged to treat them the same way using connecting habits back. And then we have the boss managers. Boss managers disconnect and disempower staff through negative feedback or no feedback at all. They see mistakes as opportunities to blame. They destroy morale. They think that they get the results, not the team. Staff don't enjoy being around a boss manager. Many don't enjoy going to work. They gossip behind the boss's back. They take more time off. They're afraid to make mistakes, so they're less creative. They're not focused on the work, but they're focused on problems with the boss. This creates a culture of fear and stress because the boss manager uses the disconnecting habits, criticising, complaining, threatening, blaming, nagging, punishing, or even bribing to control. This is like taking money out of the bank. Now you start to create a deficit. And eventually you will need to pay interest back on that deficit. Interest back in kind. An eye for an eye. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. And the ultimate punishment that staff will give to a boss manager is to leave. You see, it's again like a gift. The gift of a disconnecting habit. The person will want to repay it back in kind with a gift of a similar value. If you recognise that you use disconnecting habits, that's good. We all do to some extent. They are habits, and this program is designed to change habits. But here's the good news. If you take the disconnecting habits out of all your relationships, watch them soar. And as a byproduct, you will be meeting your own needs and feel much happier. But you'll also be meeting the needs of others. Simple, isn't it? But simple things are often the best. History has shown us this. From the invention of the wheel to Leonardo Fibonacci's use of zero in mathematics. The simple things are often the best. If we all used connecting habits and avoided the disconnecting habits, what kind of caring world would we live in? And by the way, if someone is using disconnecting habits on you, it's because they feel disconnected and disempowered in some area of their life. It's not your problem, it's theirs. You don't need to take it personally. You can start to feel compassion for them. They must be suffering about something. For those in sales and customer service, just knowing the customer's needs and understanding the frustrations when needs are not being met can take you a long way into being more effective in your interaction with customers and establishing a connection. And remember, happiness is true wealth, true success. And you can choose to be happy now by starting to improve all the relationships through connecting habits and avoiding disconnecting habits. Listen to this CD and the other CDs in the set as often as possible. Repetition is the mother of skill, and repetition develops new habits of thinking.